I do want to encourage you to turn back to John chapter 11, that passage that Mark has read for us a few minutes ago. It's on page 1076, if you've got a Bible in front of you this morning. It's one of the things that you learn in life is that one Sunday you can be celebrating. Last Sunday morning, if you were here, we had a magnificent baptismal service. Great morning of celebration, singing, clapping, encouraging those who've taken that step of baptism. And then the tragedy of this week reminds us that we live in a broken and messed up and fallen world, and people we love die. And this series, which we start on Sunday mornings, is all designed really to help us to follow the encounter that people have with Jesus Christ. And as I was preparing this week in the light of Robert's tragic death, I sensed God saying to me, you need to fast forward in this series a little bit, and you need to come to John chapter 11 this morning. And that's why we're coming to Jesus and Lazarus. There's some things that I sense God wants to say to us as the church family to encourage us at difficult times such as this. But one of the great things that when we find ourselves, whether we're celebrating or whether we are mourning, meeting together as the community of God's people is something that's very special to us. Because whether we're celebrating or mourning, we believe that God is present with us. That's some things that God wants to say to us from the Bible this morning. If you've got the Bible open in front of you, John chapter 11, you see and you've heard this story that Marcus has just read for us about Mary and Martha facing the death of someone that they loved. Lazarus was a dear friend of Jesus. And it seemed very appropriate this morning that we entitled this look at this particular passage, When Someone We Love Dies. And my prayer has been that just for a few minutes together, we will spend some special time with Jesus to see how this encounter helps us to work our way through the events of this week. Many of you here this morning will know this story, won't you? That the story starts with Lazarus being seriously ill. He's described at the beginning of this chapter as a much-loved friend of Jesus, the loved brother of Mary and Martha. And you can sense the urgency in verse 3 where they send messages to Jesus saying, you need to come and you need to come quickly because this dear person that you love is seriously ill. And by the time that Jesus returns, we learn in verse 14 that Lazarus has died. But we are given a hint at the start of this story that there is something more to this story that we need to take note of. And for me, the clue comes in verse 15. If you've got a Bible in front of you, you'll see what Jesus says to his disciples. He says, yes, Lazarus has died. But he says, what's going to happen next is to help you in your faith. What's going to happen next is to help you to trust in Jesus. What is going to help you next is going to reassure your faith in the person of Jesus Christ. It is going to help us in our faith. And I guess that's what some of us need this morning. Looking at some of you who were crew on the boat this week, you need the help of God this morning. You need help in your faith, as do those of us who mourn. We need help, don't we, at times like this? We need help when it feels like the bottom has fallen out of our world. We need help to follow Jesus when the crisis comes. We need help when we cannot make sense of what is happening. And Jesus says at the very start of this story, what's going to happen here is going to help you in your faith. You see, one of the things I love about the Bible is that it says it as it really is. It doesn't airbrush out the difficult parts of life. It is there to help us. And I want to show you that as we work our way into this story this morning, because there's two things I want you to notice by observation as we come to this story this morning. Here's the first thing, and you don't need me to tell you this, but when someone we love dies, we cry. You see, here in the shortest verse of the Bible, verse 35, you read that Jesus bursts into tears at the death of his friend Lazarus. He's just simply overcome by emotion and he begins to cry. And that's what happens when someone we love dies, we cry. Jesus seems overwhelmed at the grief that he saw in the faces of Mary and Martha, the grief that we see in the faces of the crew from Robert's boat this week. Someone we love dies, we cry. Verse 33, when Jesus saw Mary crying and those who had come with her crying, he was deeply stirred in his spirit, John tells us, and he was very troubled and he began to cry. It's part of what it means to be a human being, to cry with others when we're sad, to cry when someone that we love dies. We live in a society today that it teaches, in a sense, to hide our emotions, perhaps for fear what other people may think. My friends, it is okay to cry. It seems that, as John describes this scene for us, he wants us to grasp that when we look at Jesus here in tears, we are to see him not just as a flesh and blood human being, but we are also to see him as the Word made flesh, as God stepping into the history of our world, who stands at the grave of his friend Lazarus and who weeps real tears at the graveside of his friend. When someone we love dies, we cry. See it here in this story. Second thing that we notice in this story is that we begin to ask questions, don't we? It's all here in this story. You see, verse 20 tells us that Martha runs out to meet Jesus when she hears that he's arrived. And in verse 21, Martha says to Jesus, "You know what, Jesus, if you had only been here, my brother would not have died." There's the if-only question. Verse 37, isn't it interesting that when Mary runs out to meet Jesus as well, she asks him the very same question. If only you had been here, my brother would not have died. In verse 37, people who are seeing what's going on, they say to Jesus, "Well, you know, if you can restore a blind man, then why weren't you here to stop this man dying? Jesus, how could you have let this happen?" When someone we love dies, the questions so often follow, don't they? Lord, why? Why have you allowed this to happen? Why have you allowed this to happen to me? Why to my family? Why me? Why now? Why this way? Those kind of questions are all here in the account of Jesus and this dear friend who dies. Because the Bible portrays life as it really is, all around Jesus. People are asking, if only, they're asking why. And in a sense, as Jesus arrives into Bethany, he faces this barrage of questions. And the why questions are often the hardest questions of all to answer, aren't they? See, I don't think it's insignificant that when Jesus died on the cross, it was a why question that was on his lips. "My God, my God, why have you forsaken me?" When someone we love dies, we cry. When someone we love dies, the questions often follow, don't they? But at the very outset of this story, Jesus has made it very clear in verse 15 that this story, this event, has been recorded so that it will help us in our faith. So how does that help us today? Let me give you four very brief reasons why this, or how this story can help us this morning. Here's the first thing it helps us with. It reminds us, first of all, that Jesus knows what grief feels like. This account of Jesus helps us to grasp the humanity of Jesus, and that is so important. Yes, he's the God who stepped into the history of our world. Yes, he is the Word made flesh. Yes, he's the Creator who flung stars into space, but he is also a real physical human being. He knows what it feels like to be hungry. He knows what it feels like to be tired. He knows clearly in this story what it feels like to grieve the death of someone that he loves. And Isaiah, writing 600 years before Jesus was born, speaking of Jesus' life, puts it like this: "He has borne our grief and he carries our sorrows." And another lovely verse tucked away in Psalm 56, it says this about God's care of his people: "You have collected all my tears in your bottle. You have recorded each one of them in your book." This is the story that helps us in our faith. Why? Because we have someone who is tempted in every way, just as we are, and yet was without sin. That means that he knows what it feels like to live in this broken and fallen world. He identifies with us in everything that we experience. He helps us in our faith. Today is Pentecost Sunday. It's a day that reminds us that Jesus Christ lives in us by his Spirit. Through our lives, he experiences what we experience. And this story of Lazarus helps us in our faith because it reminds us that Jesus knows what it feels like. So for those of you sitting across the back row of our church this morning, Jesus knows what your heart feels like this morning, knows that your heart breaks. But here's something else about our faith that comes out of this story. It's the second way that it helps us. It shows us that Jesus displays power and authority over death. This is really important for us as the followers of Jesus Christ. You see, on the way to Bethany, with John's help, we get to listen in on this conversation that's taking place on the journey. Verse 11, Jesus says, our friend Lazarus has fallen asleep, and I'm going to wake him up. In verse 12, well, the disciples couldn't quite understand what was happening. They say, Lord, if Lazarus sleeps, he'll get better. But Jesus, John tells us, had been speaking of the death of Lazarus. The disciples thought Jesus was talking about natural sleep. So in verse 14, Jesus spells it out. He says, Lazarus is dead. But what's going to happen is going to happen so that it will help you in your faith. So verse 38, Jesus arrives at the tomb. He commands that the stone be rolled away from the tomb. And then verse 41, we get this lovely insight into the prayer of Jesus, talking to his Father in heaven. Father, thank you for hearing me. And then Jesus says, I'm not praying because I don't think that you'll hear me. I know you always hear me, but I'm praying out loud so that the people around this tomb will see what's going to happen next and will believe. And what happens next? Well, then Jesus conclusively demonstrates his power and authority over the death of his friend Lazarus by calling him out of the tomb 4 days after he has died. Verse 43, Jesus calls out with a loud voice, Lazarus, come out. And John tells us that the dead man came out, his feet, his hand wrapped with strips of linen and cloth around his face. And Jesus said to them, take off the grave clothes, let him go. You see, the raising of Lazarus is designed to resonate with the raising of Jesus Christ on Easter Day. Do you see the parallels in the story? That the tomb sealed, the stone sealed the tomb. Here the stone is rolled away and Lazarus comes out and the tomb is empty. It's designed to fast forward us to Easter Sunday and to see the tomb rolled away and the risen Jesus. The risen Jesus who conquers death once and for all, proving to us that he is the Christ, the Son of God. I love the way Paul captures this sense of grief and hope in a church that he's writing to later on in the New Testament. He says, brothers and sisters, we don't want you to be ignorant about those who fall asleep. He says, there are some things that you need to know about the followers of Jesus Christ after they've died. He says, we believe that Jesus died and rose again. And so we believe that God will bring with Jesus those who have fallen asleep in him. Therefore, encourage each other with these words. The raising of Lazarus is recorded for us in the Gospels to help us in our faith. It's here to show us that Jesus knows what it feels like on a day like today. Feels our grief. It's here to show us that Jesus has power and authority over death. And the third thing it helps us with is that it helps us to get a glimpse of what we sometimes describe as new creation. It gives us a glimpse beyond the tomb. Verses 21 to 26. We touched on this a few weeks ago. There's a really curious conversation going on between Jesus and Martha at the beginning of this story. It takes us back to this question in verse 21 that we so often ask when someone we love has died, if only. The reply that Jesus gives in verse 23 is absolutely phenomenal. Martha believes that if Jesus had been there, then her brother would not have died. But instead of looking to the past and dreaming of what might have been, Jesus points Martha to the future. In verse 23, he says, your brother will rise again. And then Jesus says something absolutely staggering. He asks Martha to imagine what would happen if something of the future power were to burst into the present. And Jesus says in verse 25, I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me will live even though he dies. And whoever lives and believes in me will never die. Do you believe this? And then Jesus shows her what that looks like by raising Lazarus from the dead. As something of the power of the age to come bursts into the here and now, and we get a glimpse of new creation as Lazarus is raised from the dead. And that's what Jesus does all the way throughout his ministry, bringing tastes and glimpses of new creation. Something of the power of the age to come breaking into the here and now in this present world. And the resurrection of Lazarus is designed to point us forward to the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ. The resurrection of Lazarus was temporary, but when Jesus died and rose again, we discover that death has been defeated, that new creation is for real, and that things can never be the same again. And that's why Jesus says to his disciples at the beginning of this story, this is to help you in your faith. And that's what this story is about. It's designed to help us in our faith. It's designed to encourage us on a day like today. It's designed to reassure us on a day like today. It's designed to bring us back to the person of Jesus Christ and our trust in Jesus, who knows what it feels like when someone we love dies, who has power and authority over death, showing us that death is not the end of the story, that shows us something of the power of the age to come as Lazarus is raised, pointing us forward to the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ. That's why Paul's able to say, we don't want you to grieve like the rest of people who have no hope. We believe that Jesus died and rose again. And so we believe that Jesus, or God, will bring with Jesus those who have fallen asleep in him. Lazarus gives us a taste of new creation. You see, faith in Jesus Christ is not just about life after death. It's about Jesus speaking to us in the here and now. And the last thing that this story does is it invites us to faith in the risen Christ. It draws us back to the person of Jesus on a Sunday like this morning. Robert Carpenter loved the Lord. His faith was in the risen Christ. He had a faith that shaped the way that he lived. And that's why we can grieve today as people of hope. Not hope that's based on wishful thinking, but a hope that is anchored to the death and resurrection power of Jesus Christ. We believe, writes Paul, that Jesus died and rose again, and so we believe that God will bring with Jesus those who have fallen asleep in him. And so we come back to this curious conversation that Jesus is having with Martha at the beginning of this story, where Jesus says to Martha, I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me will live even though he dies. And whoever lives and believes in me will never die. And then Jesus turns to Martha and says, do you believe this? Remember what this story is all about? It's a story that's designed to help us in our faith. It's a story that's designed to help us to believe. It's a story that's designed to reaffirm our faith in Jesus on days when it feels like the bottom's fallen out of our world. And through the eyes of faith, Martha models the response that John longs for all of us to make. Verse 27, she said, Lord, I believe that you are the Christ, the Son of God who was to come into the world. And here in John chapter 11, we have a very human encounter with Jesus. that is designed to help us on days like today when someone we love dies. Of course we cry. Of course we ask questions. Because that's what happens when someone we love dies. It's all here in this story, isn't it? The Bible paints life as it really is. It's designed to help us in our faith. It's designed to help us to follow Jesus. And how does it do that? How does this story help us? Well, it shows us that Jesus understands all of our human emotions. Because he's been there. In this particular story and in the context of Robert's death, it shows us that Jesus has power and authority over death. That's not the end of the story. Death's been defeated. It gives us just a glimpse of new creation. Lazarus, come out. Models the pattern of all believers after death. And it invites us very gently to faith in Jesus Christ. For many of us here this morning to reaffirm our faith in Jesus, we cry, we question. This passage gently leads us back to the person of Jesus this morning. And like the question which Jesus asks Martha, do you believe this? Martha's answer was, yes, Lord. I believe you're the Christ, the Son of the living God. That's what I believe God wants to say to us this morning from his word. I trust it encourages you as we make our way through this coming week. We're going to have to communion in just a moment. Before that, I want to pray. So perhaps those of you who are serving communion would like to come to the front as I'm praying. We're going to move straight into communion this morning. And I'll explain why in just a moment. So let's pray, shall we? Father, someone we love has died. And Lord, many of the emotions that we feel this morning resonate with this passage that we've been reading. And we thank you so much for Jesus, the one who was tempted in every way as we are and yet was without sin, who knows what this life feels like, who knows what days like today feel like, because he has been there. Thank you for one who carries our grief and bears our sorrow. And Lord, we pray that today Gwyneth and the family and all those who are on board the boat this week will know of your amazing love for them. We'll know the comfort of God's word. We'll recognize again that death is not the end of the story. We'll recognize that new creation is yet to come, but starts in the here and now. Lord, be with us in this week, we pray. As we come to your cross this morning, thank you for the wonderful reminder that you love us and that there's nothing that we can do to make you love us any more or any less. Thank you. In Jesus' name, amen. So as we come to communion this morning,